Welcome all you out. Not much else to do in a day when it rains all day than go to church. Nothing better, I guess. So this morning, I was actually thinking a little bit about the weather and all that. And we all believe the sun's shining somewhere, and it should shine again. That we kind of take for granted, but there's a lot of other things that we can not believe quite so clearly. What I want to share about is a topic that's become more real to me in the recent past here, and what I want to look at is faith. More so in what actually faith is than, like in the song, Faith of Our Fathers, that's more the belief, but like I want to look at what the word itself means, just kind of get a basic understanding of what faith is. So we can understand how to apply it. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. I'm going to be reading a number of verses. So if you don't follow after and all, then that's fine. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jumping on to verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. In between these verses, we all know this passage pretty well. It talks about through faith and by faith, and all these different people did all these things over the years. But what is this faith actually that's being referred to here? It can feel kind of like a small word, but has a big meaning that's hard to grasp and hard to understand and put into practical life. If you look to the Strong's, the faith that's mentioned here means persuasion, to be convinced of. It comes from another word which has the idea of to convince or to rely, like to rely by inward certainty, like you know this is the truth. So with that in mind, What does this faith or this persuasion result in when we apply it to our lives? I want to read a couple of the verses here towards the end of chapter 11. Let's start at verse 33, reading most of the way through the end. Hebrews 11, verse 33. And there's a whole lot more verses we could talk, but this kind of condenses it here at the end. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. There's one thing that stood out to me over those verses is they had faith, and it brought forth action. There was a whole list of things that they did because of this faith that they had. If you look to James, he would come across pretty clearly that if you think you have faith or convinced of a truth and you don't have actions or works resulting from it, that your faith is dead. So what are some of these works or actions that we can do, or that we will do because of our faith? I'm going to turn to James 1. James 1, 22-24. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. the first chapter, verse 22 there, doer of the word. If we have this faith, we're going to do what we read, what we believe is correct. It's kind of a basic principle. Moving on down to actually previous in that chapter, verse 2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Also verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If we have this faith and we're convinced of it, we'll go through temptations and trials, knowing that there will be good coming out of it. And this is something I noticed while studying this is end of verse 12 there. He says, blessed is a man endures temptation, for he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. There's so many of these commands that end up with a blessing if we follow God's will, which I think should give us more faith. It's something else that we can believe in, that if we do what God has said, that He will give this to us. Give us more hope to keep pressing on and doing what we know is right. Trials and temptations aren't necessarily something we enjoy, but there is a promise if we go through them properly. Going back to Hebrews 11 for verse 6 here. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Maybe I should have read this first, but wasn't sure where to. They all kind of fall together, but if we don't have faith, we can't please God. But to come to God, you have to believe that he is. Therefore, you have faith, and that is pleasing to him, if that makes sense. It can be kind of easy to think that, well, I can't really please God. I don't have much faith. But if you come to God, that is because you have faith, and that faith pleases God. And he also has a promise at the end here. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we come to God through faith, we can have faith that he will also reward them if we diligently seek him. That believing that God is a very critical to everything we do in our Christian life. If we don't believe God is, why would we go to him? And why would we believe the rest of his promises? Just something to keep in mind. Let me go back to James for a couple more verses here. James 5. And these are very practical outworkings of if we have our faith where it should be and we're the actions resulting. These are some of the basic actions. James 5, 14 through 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he commit his sins, they shall be forgiven him. Just to anoint, have faith that God will heal if we anoint and pray over the one that is sick physically. Reading verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So not only do we have the physical here, but end of 15 and 16 there, if we confess our faults and pray for each other, we can also have spiritual healing. It's promised here that the fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. James 1:21. Just breaking in here. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So we're supposed to be a doer of the word, but we also have to receive the word to be a doer of it. And that word is able to save our souls. A lot of these feel like they're kind of elementary. We've all heard them so often, but they're kind of the basic principles of our faith and the outworkings of it. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Another command and promise. Which I did find it interesting, thinking about this double-minded mention at the end of the verse there. If we're persuaded that our faith is correct, like we should be, you can't be double-minded. Because either you believe one or the other, or maybe neither. But if you actually have persuaded, I might be wrong on that, but I don't think you can be double-minded and actually have the faith you claim you do. Also, I'm going to read verse 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Just another command and promise of we submit and humble ourselves. God will lift us up. Last verse, passage I want to look at is Romans 10, verse 8. Talking about confessing, Romans 10, verse 8 through 11. A little bit of the background is Paul's talking to them here, or whoever wrote Romans for sure, but verse 6, it's talking about, if I understood it correctly, talking about Jesus and where he's at and all that. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? I looked at this for a while, and if I'm saying it wrong, let me know. But verse 8, what I took from the previous verses, the word, I think, is referring to Jesus. Jesus is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture has said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verbally confessing what we believe makes it solid to us. It's not just something that we think about or it's kind of out there, but it's actually, we hear ourselves say it, others hear us say it, and it, you can't, once you say it, you can't back out of it anymore because you did say it. Verse 10 there, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a difference there. You can believe to a certain extent, but you need to express that verbally to, says here, unto salvation, for it to be completely true. And with this whole thing of saying what we believe, it's very true in every aspect of our life. If we have doubts, if we have wrong beliefs, anything really, once you can think about it. But once you start saying it is when it actually like becomes very real to you. And you have to be careful with that in the negative side, that we don't convince ourselves of something that isn't true. So let's just be certain we know where our faith is and that we are grounded where we say we are. Just want to let that with you all. God bless.